The Around the NFL Podcast is 25% Jewish.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and a Jewish man, Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Money said that with such menace.
Well, you could read between the lines there.
I don't know what that means.
What an odd way to sell our show in general.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it shows if some people complain, well, you guys, you know, maybe you need a little more variety. If you want to take the next step and get on television, maybe you need to spice things up a little bit. Hi, Greg.
Everything's a little bit better Jewish. It's a little Jew in it.
We're off the rails already. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, driven, not sponsored, freaking driven by Hyundai, which rhymes with Sunday. And that is a car company that sponsors this show. Now, nobody ever can complain about us not, giving the sponsor what they need right off the top.
Yeah, your priorities seem to be in place from a corporate point of view.
Hey, got to stay employed. Today's show is a nice one. Very nice, in fact. We're going to catch up on all the news since the last time we were with you, Tuesday. We hope you checked out...
Thursday,
thank you. We hope you checked out the stream of our Thursday show, which was aired on NFL.com at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. That will happen again on this Thursday, and then the Thursday after that, and then the Thursday after that. I think it might be a trial balloon situation by the shadowy league figures to see if this is we'll do more of this during the season, which is not, we're not saying please watch us, click in, give us the traffic. But if you do like the video show, check it out because it could help the brand.
Yeah, I just logged on to NFL.com a few minutes ago, and front and center on the homepage of our website, the interview with Mr. F, a giant picture of Mr. F. So a nod to the sponsor that actually used to give us gifts and things of items of interest to us versus our current sponsor.
Yes, a gift that was below the monetary amount that would force us to alert HR.
As far as the company knows.
He was very good about that.
Yeah.
Staying below the radar on that. So, yeah, we'll do some news, catching up on what happened in the last few days. We'll have a little fun exercise here. This coming out of a Twitter back and forth between at Chris Wessling and one of his many followers about what NFL, how an NFL quarterback correlates or what rock band or artist best describes an NFL quarterback. How about that? So we'll throw some theories out there, some connections, and then we could have at it and tear each other apart. I like that.
Wow.
Listen, sports, music, hey, pop culture, right in the bullseye.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What people are looking for.
Perfect mesh.
I mean, it's April 9th. April 10th. Get off our backs. And then if we have time, we'll do some iTunes reviews. So that's today's show. Very exciting. Before we do that, we look behind the glass. She is a wonderful, wonderful woman and a great talent behind that glass. She is New Money. What's up?
Oh, not much. Thanks for that intro, Dan.
Yeah. Any Disney trips this weekend?
No Disney trips this weekend that I know of.
Sydney, something seems to be up. You're not the same way you used to be. You'll be sorry.
You go to Knott's Berry Farm or something?
No, I don't know if I've planned that far ahead of my life, to be honest with you. Mm. It's Monday. I'm still getting over this last weekend.
Come on. Open the door, Sid. We need to talk. Open the door!
Really upsetting.
It is very concerning.
He's a little controlling is all I'm saying. You ever see Fear, Mark Wahlberg?
No.
Yes, great movie.
Gives himself the tattoo with the ink with Reese Witherspoon's character's name. I'm not saying Mickey Mouse is going to carve in Sydney or New Money into his chest. I'm just saying he seems to be not taking this well. That's all.
Well, once you, I mean.
You could have a Mark shirt right now.
Mark, yeah, is a gang member is the best way I describe this.
I just wanted to switch things up. I'm wearing a white button down. It's always like, oh, you got to keep the top two buttons open and roll up your sleeves. Like, I just simply have the top button buttoned and the rest sort of flowing free. Feels good.
It looks good.
Going to go on NFL Network looking like this. See what the, you know, what the ramifications would be.
Please do it. Please do it.
I know. You know,
you got to back it up now.
You're all talk. You know, are you going to go? Are you really going to go on NFL Network?
I'd be happy to.
Like
but it would, by, we're all linked together. If I sync the segment for the four of us, you're not going to take any.
We won't take any offense.
No, you need some ramifications in your life.
Yeah, I don't have enough responsibilities.
Do it, Mark. Let's do some news.
In Trump's America, men work in two places, coal mines and Goldman Sachs.
Don't I know it? We'll start with some of the least surprising news in the history of the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger will not retire. The Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback announced via Twitter that he informed the team he's looking forward to playing his 14th NFL season. Ben wrote, "Steeler Nation will get my absolute best." Speaking of which, 3/4 of this podcast did not see that tweet because we were one of what seems like thousands of sports writers who were blocked by Big Ben's Twitter account. Now, I know what everyone's thinking. Oh, declare vengeance and all that. Now, this is a totally different situation than Derek Carr. This seems to be someone operating his account that has some type of vendetta against the media. It doesn't seem as Roethlisberger related.
It's not even Ben Roethlisberger's account. It's Ben Roethlisberger's website's Twitter account.
Okay. Why are they blocking like 3,000 sports writer?
Maybe anyone that like didn't come down on the pro Ben Roethlisberger side when he was accused of multiple sexual assaults.
I wasn't even in the industry when that stuff was going.
Okay.
I'm sure a lot of people weren't that were blocked.
It's a good point.
Greg's saying that because you broke some news back in the day, didn't you?
That's right. I was involved. Pretty much the only thing I've ever broken involved. Well, I'm not even necessarily very proud of it. And breaking the Lake Tahoe sexual assault stuff somehow actually came.
You were
came
the first one
PFT,
to get that out
PFT
there.
PFT and NBC. Yeah.
During your PFT days. Hmm. So you're saying you would understand why you were blocked.
Well, a lot of people have said a lot of negative things about Ben Roethlisberger. So on some level, I don't get it. But on another level, it makes no sense. Because who's defended Ben Roethlisberger as an underrated great quarterback more than this room for the most part? I know Mark doesn't really like him, but everyone else.
Oh, I appreciate him, though. I mean, I'm the one that's not blocked, and I think it's because he's good enough that he's essentially, as a Browns fan, destroyed football for me since 2004. And maybe he said, you know, a punishment's enough already.
Is there a part of you that wishes you were involved with a block party?
I can't seem to get invited to any of those. Derek Carr won't block me. This guy won't block me. So I am feeling a little left out.
And people that are hitting me up about the Carr situation, we're working on it behind the scenes to broker a peace between Derek Carr, the Raiders quarterback, and at least half of the Around the NFL podcast. So stay tuned on that. Anyway, but Big Ben is coming back. Mike Tomlin released a statement. As an organization, we have been hopeful that Ben would return this year. I can't even read the rest of the statement. Obviously, he was always going to come back, and everybody had to go through the whole process, including releasing a statement.
Right.
But now we can get to the just fully looking ahead at the Steelers offense that has the potential to put up 30 points a game if everything clicks, right?
This is what you've done, Ben Roethlisberger. You've made Mike Tomlin release ridiculous statements. A proud man like Tomlin has to put together some nonsense. Get it together.
Maybe this is why you've been blocked, Greg.
I am excited about this Steelers offense, but it's worth noting Ben Roethlisberger, I think, had his worst season in a long time. He was still very, very good. I had him as my number 10 quarterback on the QB index at the end of the year. So I went back and looked, like, where was he ranked the last 5 years before that? He had never been below 6. So he's still great, but maybe didn't have as good a season last year, for what it's worth, as he did years previous.
And a gentle reminder, in this era when we expect all great quarterbacks to play till 43, Tony Romo just retired at 36 because he's beat up. Ben Roethlisberger is just turned 35. He's not a spring chicken anymore. It's not like crazy for guys to retire in their mid to late 30s, so we don't know how much time we have left with this guy.
It also wouldn't be crazy if he has the best season of his career this year.
Absolutely.
Reminds me of 3 years ago when everybody decided Tom Brady was no longer elite just because he had kind of a good year instead of a superstar year. And I think Ben Roethlisberger really struggled because they ran the offense through Le'Veon Bell from midseason on instead of running it through Ben Roethlisberger. So there's an adjustment there. They didn't have a number two receiver basically all year because Martavis Bryant was out. And the tight end was concussed for most of the second half of the season.
Do we wonder at all? Because if we say the Denver Broncos, they got off the Tony Romo train at some point because they weren't convinced he was 100% plugged into the quest of winning a Super Bowl. That Big Ben has been going back and forth in his mind, I guess, to some degree, saying, I'm not sure I still want to play football. Then, you know, his website sends out a tweet saying, I'm all in, you're going to get my best effort. But do we question how, where is football in his life at this
point?
Well,
I think that's what he was trying to figure out. And Art Rooney said a couple of weeks ago that I think it was mostly just frustration coming out of the tough loss in the AFC Championship game, which is fine, but maybe don't put us all on this roller coaster, Ben, for 3 months.
Well, it'd be a good idea for them to draft a quarterback. He was a guy, it's worth mentioning, that people thought, will he age well? And we'll see. He's aged pretty well, but early in his career wasn't known for mastering the game mentally. I think he's gotten past that a little bit, but we'll see if he ages well.
Let's move on and talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, who had a bit of a hole in their defensive line after Benny Logan left in free agency to sign with the Chiefs. So they addressed that in a trade last week. They acquired defensive tackle Timmy Jernigan and the number 99 overall pick in this month's draft in exchange for with the Baltimore Ravens in exchange for the draft 74th overall pick, the two teams announced on Tuesday. So basically, Wes, the Ravens moved up 25 spots, got into the third round. Ozzie Newsome has four picks in the first 78, 16, 47, 74, and 78. Good trade?
Seemed like a sensible trade from both sides. The Ravens have three or four defensive linemen they've drafted in the past couple of years. They want to see these young players play, and they got frustrated with Jernigan last year. There were games where he looked like the best defensive lineman on the field, and then there were games where he disappeared, and I think they just got frustrated with his inconsistency. But he's considered a much better fit for Jim Schwartz's wide nine scheme in Philadelphia, so he'll plug in. I believe he'll be playing some three technique there.
An exceptionally high ceiling for a player that you just moved down 25 picks in the draft for. I know it's only 1 year of him, but that seems like a great deal for the Eagles, especially because, you know, days later, and I don't know if the Eagles knew about this already, Bo Allen, who is their backup nose tackle, who played a lot for them last year, tore his pectoral muscle in off-season workouts and might miss, you know, much of the season.
Moving on. The Atlanta Falcons and Desmond Trufant did some business. They agreed to terms on a 5-year extension worth $68.75 million with $42 million in guaranteed money to remain in Atlanta on Saturday, a source informed told NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. The team later confirmed that extension. This has been something that had been cooking for a while. Trufant suffered a pectoral injury that ended his season last year, but he's 26 years old. A very strong player. And, Greg, what does this mean to the Atlanta secondary?
Well, I think it means Richard Sherman's not coming. I don't think he ever was. I think when you pay a guy in Trufant better money, really, than Stephon Gilmore and A.J. Bouye got, you're not going to bring in another cornerback that's making $12 million, especially when you have multiple good young players at the position. It's a good young secondary in Atlanta.
He's been a better player than Stephon Gilmore and A.J. Bouye.
I feel ridiculous. I went on NFL Network saying that Richard Sherman and the Falcons were the best fit in my mind. Absolutely, utterly ridiculous commentary that somehow snuck onto the television set.
Your logic was yeah. there, though. That was good
I think
logic.
Last week on Monday, I said some news about Romo indicated he wanted to play football again, and he retired almost despite me 10 hours later.
Well, wow. Fair.
We're on fire.
You think he was taking it to you a little bit there?
I think he heard it, and he said, for maximum pain, let's
He's like,
announce
let's get
this.
The wheels moving yeah, on this decision now, simply based around Greg Rosenthal's let's appearance get, on NFL Network.
Because they just signed Robert Alford, too, for a lot of money, and they have Jalen Collins, who I think showed some signs of being pretty good. Brian Poole played well. I mean, it's a nice little group. You know, we forgot as part of the Eagles.
Gave up a lot of yards and points.
Yeah, that's a fair point. We forgot as part of this Eagles thing. We almost got Matt McGloin into the show. I'm putting him back into the show. Matt McGloin has a job. I'm not giving up on Matt McGloin Nation.
Well, all right. You want to get into it a little bit? I didn't
no,
print up the article.
That's about all I got. He's the number three quarterback in Philadelphia. It's
good. Area
are
camp
we
arm.
Convinced he makes the
good
team.
Good to see him back in the league. If they keep three quarterbacks.
But they didn't all last year, so we'll find out what they decide to do.
Not a podcast goes by where Greg isn't crowing over some mediocre quarterback or another.
Matt McGloin, also a very a block-heavy individual. I think he's had a negative effect on Derek Carr, in fact. But he's also blocked many, many people. And, hey, Matt, if you're listening, you could block me. I don't care.
Everyone here is still friendly with him on Twitter? Anyone
don't know.
Blocked? I'm not.
Not even going to check. Don't care. That's basically what I'm saying. Maybe he's a nice guy. I don't know. Everybody's got to calm down with the well. All you know.
Not a great sign that Bill O'Brien didn't go after him because he coached him in college.
Yeah, president company excluded. Everybody's got to calm down with the blocking of people. You know, Wes.
I don't know how that works.
You know, everybody just calm down with blocking people. Like you know.
I'm gonna keep blocking people.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
You're one of the masters of it, so. But some people don't have the same level of just – they don't have the gravitas when it comes to the way Wes does. And those people need to calm down.
I like when – and we won't mention names here – when you were blocked by a reporter from our own company.
Oh, what a story that was.
Incredibly awkward, very strange situation.
That reporter who is currently employed by this company and is on television on a near daily basis – the unnamed reporter, I sent an email basically saying – what gives? This is when I was writing news still, and I said, hey, if I'm going to do my job, individual, you need to unblock me so I could see your reporting. Earth to Reporter X.
Right.
And Reporter X swiftly unblocked me, but never replied to the email.
One of the more awkward scenarios, because we tracked it all weekend long.
It's funny.
And you were texting a bunch of us and trying to.
It was
to
Christmas
what was
Eve.
On.
I remember that when I
it's learned. A couple this. Years ago now.
Yeah, a few years
this
back.
This person ruined your Christmas.
Well, let's calm down with that. It definitely didn't ruin my Christmas, but I have since learned that reporter has, let's just say, strained relationships with many people. So I don't take it personally.
That could apply to many. You've somehow remained vague. That's good.
I think that's important. Also in the news, I couldn't use this headline for .com because it would have gotten red flagged, but I'll use it here. Cupid concussed. Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn are done. Their relationship of 3 years is over. I would say, a controversial relationship, one that led to Aaron Rodgers being in the public eye on a different level than he was prior when his brother was on The Bachelorette and Aaron and Jordan's issues became public knowledge. A lot of people pointed to Miss Munn as the root of all the problems, which led to more awkwardness. I don't know whatever happened with that. I'm not tracking this too closely, but I will say that she is now out of the picture. So if you see Aaron and Jordan hanging out again anytime soon, go ahead, connect some dots.
I mean, a relationship involving a Hollywood actress and a star quarterback, it was 3 years. That's longer than I would have thought a relationship like that would last.
Are you getting choked up?
Totally lost my voice. No. Totally lost my voice.
I like the idea of you starting to cry.
It was not a moment of emotion. I just...
Bring those violins back.
A little bit
Mark,
ridiculous.
Tell us more about your feelings about this relationship.
I really have no further feelings at all. I mean, again, I just think they overshot the over-under and how often you'd say, how long you think it would last? 3 years would be well beyond what I think.
I mean, are you okay to do the rest of the podcast?
I don't know. It might be time for me to go home, get in my car, and do something else.
By the way,
tall orders to begin with.
Chicago Bears come back to us. Social media handle. Earlier, this broke on Friday. Chicago Tribune had a fun tweet. Chicago, of course, the Bears, a rival of the Packers or a wannabe rival, had a tweet. Actress Olivia Munn and boyfriend break up, according to reports. Well done. Nice way to a subtle troll of Aaron Rodgers that he's just a boyfriend. Then later Friday, when some 22-year-old social media intern decided to double down on the Bears account and tweeted a picture of a disappointed Aaron Rodgers with a hashtag, something like Friday got us feeling like. That led to everyone being like, wait, what? Calm down. Calm down, Bears.
These team accounts, if you're a football fan that follows beyond your own team's Twitter team account are obnoxious.
And by the way, if anyone's curious, Aaron Rodgers is 14-4 in 18 games against the Bears with 38 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, a passer rating of 106. Basically, he's dominated them. And then the worst part is, all right, you do it, you tweet it out. The end around wrote about this. Hours later, they delete their tweet.
It is a cart with the wheels spinning off. Just get control of yourselves.
Come back to us. You either put it up and deal with it and take all the criticism and any corners that are giving you accolades. Don't go halfway. No half measures here.
The Bears are cute. They run on batteries. You just walk by and pat them on the head when you go by. Mm.
Damn, that was blistering, Wes.
They run on batteries. Nobody's afraid of them. They've got no claws. They got no teeth.
Well, and it's funny.
Wait, they got Mike Glennon, buddy.
That's what I'm saying.
When is the last time the Bears really scared anyone? Right. And this is like one of the classic NFL franchises whose fan base are quietly just been eaten alive for decades.
Their social media account pretty much is now the equivalent to their football team. It's a 3-13 type of that.
Oh, wow.
Just saying.
Woo.
Right?
Where's the Bunsen burner when you need it? Jeez, the scientists really going in, taking it to a personal level. And finally in the news, NFL players participated in a made-for-TV arm wrestling tournament. This is a late add to the news, Greg. I know you like to look over at my laptop from time to time. This happened inside a Las Vegas casino, and we're learning now, I think Rap Sheet had this reported. Am I right as well?
That's correct.
Okay, that these players involved will be fined. I got actually some raw audio from the casino during this event. Let's listen to it now.
You got lucky again, huh, Hawks?
How you doing, Bull?
Better than you. Right now, double or nothing. What do you say?
Let's just wait for Vegas.
Come on, let's do it now. I feel like kicking some ass.
Let's wait till Vegas, okay?
You ain't got a prayer in Vegas.
That was actually from Over the Top.
Over the Top. Great movie.
One of my favorite Bad Stallone films, 1986, Bomb. The ESPN report has a photo from the Las Vegas Review-Journal of James Harrison and Marshawn Lynch jawing at each other. I want to watch this. Wait, this looks like it's awesome. James Harrison against Marshawn Lynch in arm wrestling?
Yeah. Who won?
I don't know. We got to watch it. It was at the MGM Grand. And by the way, the NFL – hey, you can't, vote to have a team move to Vegas and then get upset when there's Vegas events going on involving the NFL, right?
That checks out.
It's going to be problematic. There's going to be problematic things that come up. They're going to have to adjust the rules. We talked about this. If they're going to have a Super Bowl there, they're going to have to change some rules.
Here are some of the players as I'm scrolling through this article that were at the event. Again, an arm wrestling tournament involving NFL players.
How is there still arm wrestling in 2017?
I'm surprised.
Don't we have superior forms of entertainment?
The real news here is how little news this got.
Well, it kind of snuck up on people. It wasn't heavily promoted, and perhaps by design.
Patrick.
Greg.
Are you reading
my laptop again?
Most. I am. I'm going over here.
Wouldn't you guys be annoyed if you're
the level of things that annoy me in general, that would be very heavily on my radar.
Patrick Chung was also there. Good to know.
Okay. Anyway, Harrison Lynch, Kenny Stills was there, Navarro Bowman, Marquise Pouncey, Marquette King, of course, Mario Edwards, Patrick Chung, as Greg said. The contest is scheduled to be broadcast on CBS May 27th and 28th. I'll tell you what, scheduled to be broadcast is an interesting way to put it because the NFL and CBS might have a conversation.
How far does Kenny Stills get in a tournament, arm wrestling tournament that involves James Harrison?
There might be weight classes. Okay. That would be my guess. I don't know. And also, every arm wrestling movie, TV show I've ever seen, at least one contestant has his arm snapped in half. I would not want any of my players. I wouldn't want to see Mo
not
Wilkerson on this list, to name one prominent Jet. There's not many. So I get if teams are not down with it and why fines are being handed out. But the whole Vegas football thing, it's, again,
it's one of the rare instances where being a Jets or Browns fan and the team is completely unmarketable from a star or talent standpoint that you come out on top.
What, James Harrison versus the field, who are you taking?
James Harrison.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who's going to be James Harrison? Maybe like a Calais Campbell type.
He's no one the arm snapper.
No one on that list that you read.
Yeah, that list had a couple of nobodies on it. I mean, Calais in terms
Campbell's
of arm wrestling talent.
I wouldn't sleep on Navarro Bowman maybe, but still, yeah, Harrison has got to be a heavy favorite in the event. That's what's happening in the news. Elevate your underwear game to the next level with Me Undies. What is Me Undies? Oh, just seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. Me Undies are designed in L.A. and made from sustainably sourced micro...
modal.
A fabric three times softer than cotton. Me Undies, softer than soft luxury undies, come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns. Sid, when are we going to get music under this? I need music under these reeds.
I've got some. But you just jumped right into it like a pro.
So you can tailor your – anytime you want to throw it in. So you could tailor your undies.
Oh, I like it.
I think I just took mushrooms. Undies to your own personal style. And guess what? You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/NFL2017, and get 20% off your first pair. So go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/NFL2017. MeUndies.com/NFL2017.
Subscription undergarments, that's innovative.
Yeah, highly innovative. The offer code NFL2017, how come it's not a offer code that's individualized to each podcast? Do they not want to know that all the undies are being purchased by Around the NFL podcast listeners? Is there a conspiracy within this building to keep us down is basically what I'm saying.
That's a good question.
Want to read between the lines? Anybody want to read with me? I have a little story time with Sweet Jack before bed each night. That'd be the story we're reading tonight. Suppression methods of the Around the NFL podcast here at NFL.
Watch out, Goodnight Moon.
Yeah.
Jack grows up to be a big conspiracy theorist.
Do you want to talk real quick about WrestleMania? WrestleMania 3 for Marina Del Rey?
Sure, yeah.
What a great time.
It wasn't quite as wild as the previous iteration.
I think it needed to be scaled back a little bit.
It definitely needed to. The invite list was scaled back with Dan's help. Because I would never rob him of that.
If you need to have less people at something, come to me.
Right.
I will whittle it down for you. That's one of my great skills.
Yeah.
Or drawbacks.
We had some cornhole. We had some ribs and pulled pork. We had Mark dancing.
Had a great time.
Yeah.
That's when the night is going in a certain direction. When
that's
Mark
not unique to WrestleMania.
It was scaled down.
But yeah.
No, but it was scaled down. But I know that any time that I essentially fall asleep in the Uber on the way home, that you've had a good time.
Yes.
It's been a good night. I mean, the street,
that's always a good sign.
The streets are talking about those ribs.
Oh.
Wes's ribs.
My God.
I mean, he can always barbecue, but I think he's brought it to another level with these ribs. They were some of the most delicious barbecue I've ever had in my life.
And let's not sleep on the pulled pork either.
No, pulled pork was great as well.
And as I could tell, because there got a big time pop on Twitter, I sent out a 90-second video of Wes massaging his pulled pork so tenderly. You could tell you have the hands of a gentle lover the way you work that meat. I enjoyed taping that.
Thank you.
Speaking of gentle lovers, the paramour was there and had some critique about your methods. I thought she got quite verbal about the layers of tinfoil surrounding the meat.
Yeah, she did second guess my tinfoil operation.
Nah.
Well, has she come?
In other words, Wes is now single.
You're right. I forgot about that portion of the day where she wasn't very supportive of my barbecuing.
I'm sure she came around.
Yeah, by the end. She she was into the ribs, definitely.
She was on the couch. Is what happened late Saturday night.
What the hell's going on?
So a tremendous event. Let's move on. And if anybody has any memories to share, there was a very I was told not to bring it up. I won't. But a crazy thing happened during cornhole in terms of some of the competition. But I will say once again, the Wes and Zeus pairing, I just don't think we'll ever be defeated. We're right now at the Tyson. 1987 Michael Spinks phase where we're just destroying everyone. We're starting to think to ourselves, is this even a challenge anymore?
Yeah, Greg actually called out our competitiveness, our competitive fire, we were willingly teammates, and Greg, yes. Greg believes that
right.
we should be on opposing teams.
I was saying, I throw about 3 games of corn a year, maybe 2. So I'm joining up with someone else who's, you know, not a superstar or anything. And yeah, maybe I lost before I even stepped onto the.
Do you
to
think
the board,
Wes and I
but
are
it
up?
Like, really, it wouldn't really matter.
Do you think Wes and I are up at 5 a.m. together practicing corn?
No, but
two kids.
You
I got a job.
Of,
I'm not
a lot of corn.
Was some of the guest list whittling down, removing people that would have been a challenge to the two of you?
Not at all.
Not at all. In fact, they got rid of some of the pretenders that get annoyingly in the way at times.
I would say as
if you were at last year's party and you weren't at this year's, you can piece that together.
As competitive as Greg obviously is,
yeah.
the fact that he stubbornly refuses to do the spin, I mean, you have to question his competitive fire.
Yeah, I should start next time. It's like a year between every game, so it's, you know.
You can come. I have a cornhole board. Wes has cornhole boards. Come over anytime and practice, because just like he's pepper spray on the softball field, he's the old clomper. with cornhole, if you don't throw a spin and you're throwing those clomp bombs, you just got no chance against a real player.
Fair.
And that's WrestleMania 3 talk.
Sponsored by no one.
No sponsors there. No sponsors coming. All right. Let's have a little fun. Again, it's April 10th. So back off. I don't want to hear from you. We're just trying to have some fun here. And what we're going to talk about now is a tweet. Let me find the tweet.
Here it is.
All right. If you could send it to me. I could also look over at your laptop so you can know what my life's like.
Or Wes could just read it out loud.
Well, first, Josh Lansky, one of our listeners, sent a tweet asking, seriously, Romo or Favre? As in, who had the better career?
Yikes.
And I was like, well, this isn't even a conversation. It's Favre by leaps and bounds. And he followed up with, can you at least get on board with this comparison? Tony Romo, the Rolling Stones, Brett Favre, the Beatles.
What?
And my response was no. Brett Favre, Rolling Stones, Tony Romo, Rolling Stones tribute band.
Okay.
Which Greg thought was a little harsh.
That was very strong. In fact, I think you're both almost equally wrong.
You and Josh?
I mean, Romo has been called a poor man's Favre many times.
He's not in the league of Brett Favre, but calling him a tribute band, I think, is underserving Tony Romo's great
career.
Yeah,
that's kind of what
I mean. So we started throwing out, okay, well, then who Tony Romo would be. Hence,
right.
a segment is born.
And by the way, I will say this. I do like Brett Favre as the Rolling Stones, because if you're set up on faulty logic, then the whole exercise is a mess. I do think that is good.
I agree.
That works.
They're both gifted, prolific. They've had ups and downs. A bit dangerous.
Little rebellion.
A little rebellion in there. I like it. So that's a good one.
Well, I've got who I think should be Romo now. I've thought about this.
Let's hear it.
He's R.E.M. He's an indie band with modest beginnings that no one saw coming, came out of the gate with just talent ablazing, a beautiful decade, to the point where the expectations are raised so high that when their career kind of falls off a cliff and goes nowhere suddenly, they're mocked a little bit. But it's unfair expectations. Think of what they did as just this little band from Athens.
I like that.
I have a different one.
Okay.
The Band.
The Band.
They were never named anything other than The Band because they started out as Bob Dylan's backup band. They were just his backup guys. Never got a real name. They were The Band. Tony Romo, undrafted, starts out as Drew Bledsoe's backup. And then probably underappreciated, just like The Band, over the length of their careers because they started out with such humble beginnings.
I like that.
So you're saying kind of a good band, but not an all-time.
I think The Band is phenomenal.
I think the REM one's really good. The only issue I have with it is that there was a time in the early 90s when REM was arguably the biggest band in the world. Was Tony Romo ever the biggest band?
In terms of fame and in terms of headlines,
he
wasn't necessarily the best ever, but he was maybe the biggest.
I like where you went with
that. What do you got, Mark, for Romo? Do you have anything?
I honestly was convinced until about 4 minutes ago that this segment was a joke.
Mark missed this part of the meeting because he had to go to makeup.
Let me throw this one out.
The one I thought about, because I did like the general discussion that the Rolling Stones and then the Rolling Stones tribute band, what is kind of like a real Rolling Stones tribute band, Aerosmith, who were always Stones light. They had some really high highs, some embarrassing lows, which Romo certainly had. But the biggest disconnect there was – Tony knew when to quit. Aerosmith never did. So then I thought about another band, White Stripes.
Also, some good-looking blondes in the mix in terms of the Aerosmith video.
Yeah, very
Romo's
good.
Well Love done. Life.
Mm. I'll throw a more modern rock or recent modern rock band, White Stripes. The genre-defining, polarizing to some, better than people realized, and they knew when to get out before it got depressing, like Tony. Mm. So I like this, but I like your R.E.M. one a lot. Anybody else got a different? Mark, who do you have any?
I think Greg, for me, knocked it out of the park. I have others, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Throw you want a whole different quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just go around.
How about this? For RG3.
Oh, no.
I go Nina.
All right.
99 Left Balloons makes her, that was her, 99 yeah. Red Balloons makes her a classic example of a one-hit wonder. If you're RG3, you had 1 year where you were wonderful. You were fantastic. You were capturing the imagination. It's a song, 99 Red Balloons. It'll be around as long as modern radio is around forever. It'll always get play because of that one thing he did. He'll always be remembered, but then it quickly came to a crash for Nina.
Will Nina always been...
That song. I don't think that's most people even know that Nina sang it. But I would just say RG3 did one thing that made him incredibly memorable in the history of football.
He had perhaps he's perhaps the greatest 1 year wonder ever in the NFL. So that's a fun one because you could insert any great one hit wonder in there, such as "You Get What You Give" by New Radicals. That's one of my favorite one hit wonders. 99 Left Balloons is obviously an all-time one-hit.
I mean, he will always be, no matter what happens, he will have won the Rookie of the Year over Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson.
And deserved it.
Like that,
right.
That didn't,
and fully deserved it that year.
He was electrifying.
I've got both Manning brothers.
All right, let's hear it.
Peyton, you too.
I got that too.
Universally beloved, a compendium spanning decades, but ultimately a little safe.
Yeah, I had.
That works.
This was my description. Peyton Manning, you too. Long, durable career, set ton of records, won many awards, tons of fans, but also a vocal contingent of haters.
Yeah.
Eli Manning, the spin doctors.
Oh,
that's rough.
Two hits in their career and ultimately very terrible. Annoying.
Terrible job, Wes.
Spin doctors, Eli Manning.
I think you're spin doctoring your preferences or non-preferences for Eli Manning.
Wes.
What?
That's terrible.
It's true.
How about
two hits?
They're kind
this?
Of known for being – they're almost like a punchline, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the
so
longevity of Eli Manning has a completely different feel to me than spin doctors.
Well, the whole point
around
is –
for like an autumn.
People think that the longevity's there, but he's only been a good quarterback like a couple of times in his career.
How about Eli Manning as Oasis? First two albums were tremendous, two titles, and then everything after was kind of,
That works.
A letdown.
I mean, Oasis are known for being like edgy. Like, they don't get along with each other. He's always having fights and stuff. Eli is, like, the least likely to ever get in a fight of any.
Spin doctors, though, Wes, that is beyond a troll job. Because here's where the logic breaks down. You're saying that winning two Super Bowl titles is the equivalent of Little Miss Can't Be Wrong
right.
and Two Princes. That's belittling winning a Super Bowl title because those aren't good songs, but there's nothing better than winning two. So it would have to be two great songs or two great albums. Otherwise, you're just trolling the quarterback.
I am trolling the quarterback.
All right, well, we have that out.
Well, you all right, you acknowledged it at least.
Yes.
let's see. How about Greg, you got another one?
No, go for it.
All right. How about Russell Wilson as Taylor Swift? Mm. Hyper successful, relentlessly polished, media savvy as hell, an undeniable talent who may be a huge phony.
Oh.
I can't argue with any of that.
Maybe.
I don't know if Taylor Swift is a phony or if Russell Wilson is, but the rest of it is a very good comparison.
Some people have stated that about both.
No, I know. I personally don't know.
I think there's a level of calculation that people, blanch at. I think Russell Wilson and Taylor Swift would even admit they're calculated. Calculation is not a bad thing when you're trying to build a career. There's an entire Sports Illustrated article which caught your eye years ago about how calculated Russell Wilson is about building
article.
His image. I think that
with all his buddies in the luxury box.
I think that's a home run comparison.
I got one for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Both of these come out of San Francisco in terms of what we think about.
Ooh.
The Grateful Dead and Steve Young. Now, Steve Young was not out smoking pot like a crazy person, so he's not the followers
of
the Grateful Dead. So that part maybe a little bit. But when you think about Steve Young and the highlight films of him and his games in general, poetry, wild rhythms, riffing, creativity, totally unpredictable. If you listen to a, like an hour, 2 hour long thing from the Dead, they don't do play the same song the same way ever. They do the good things good, but they go completely experimental, and I think that Steve Young had that experimental feel to him.
I like that. I had a different Grateful Dead staying in the Bay Area, a guy who went to college at Cal Berkeley, Aaron Rodgers. A lot of improv to his game, like a jam band quarterback. I think the Steve Young one works too.
Sid, what do you think about that? The greatest BYU athlete of all time, Steve Young. You okay with that?
I really wish I knew more about the Grateful Dead to have an opinion on this.
I am stunned that you're not deeply into the Grateful Dead.
See, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, and ever since I noticed during our show that Mark derisively made fun of Chance the Rapper in our Slack.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Channel or our instant bet. He said he was gonna compare every QB to Chance the Rapper just to seem cool. Hey, look at me. I know about Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a little ridiculous.
I realized the other night Chance the Rapper is on Mark's radar.
Ooh. Yeah, he is.
Or at least people that like Chance. And right.
I'll let you explain why you think it is, but I'll explain why. Yeah.
So, that got on my radar because who else has, talked about Chance? I love lots of hip hop, but Chance certainly right now would be number one for me.
We were doing a dance-off where two people were going back and forth playing songs. I'll explain why. And I will say this, Chance the Rapper seems extremely talented.
Yeah. Is this at WrestleMania?
At WrestleMania Chance the Rapper songs came up, no one's dancing.
No one played Chance. You were talking about another time entirely. But right here, I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers is Chance the Rapper.
I knew this was coming.
Well, it wasn't. The only reason it's coming is because I just read that during the show. So when Dan came to me, I'm thinking, hamana, hamana, who's Chance the Rapper? It's Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers can do anything. Chance can sing. Chance can flow. He can do a fast song. He can do a slow song. He can do emotion. Like anything you want, if you want to improvise, whatever. Aaron Rodgers does every little thing. Like he can do everything, any attribute you want in a quarterback. He can at least do like 90% of the best quarterback out there. And that's kind of what I think with Chance the Rapper, like his new, like every song is a little different.
I'll spend a week listening exclusively to his music to see. No, because I'm willing to change my mind. I think sometimes it's just like, I get it.
He was not going to be.
Let's name drop him every time we talk about music so that we seem so progressive.
He's not written down by me, but once I saw this in the channel, I took it.
Here's the counter I have, though. The only problem, Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great.
Chance will be.
Chance can be. That's why I'll put him – I'll make him Marcus Mariota.
Okay.
Well, like has all the tools and can be great, but we don't know yet.
I know.
You're locking it up, bro. You locking up Chance?
I'm locking it up!
Being an all-time great MC. Okay.
Sure.
Good for you. All right. Let's do some Tom Brady's. All right. I'll start. Tom Brady is Radiohead. Keeps going and going and going without any obvious signs of decline. Scene keeps changing, but he, like Radiohead, remain a constant. And Brady might be an android.
I like that part.
And when Brady finally does retire, guess who's coming for the Patriots? The Karma Police, bitch.
You sold me. You didn't have me early, but you sold me.
I have the Beatles for Tom Brady.
I think that
the greatest.
Yeah.
And there are people, these people I never trust, who claim they hate the Beatles. That's fine, but you cannot refute their virtuosity. They had the biggest impact of any band.
I don't know where
I
else
agree.
You go that, other than the Beatles.
That occurred. I like that. Although the Radiohead thing, I didn't quite get it, and then now I kind of see it. Because when you're bumping Creep on your headphones while mowing lawns in eighth grade like I was, you would have never thought this could go down as an all-time band. This could have been a one-hit wonder. And, it's kind of slipping under the radar. Always
the only reason
overachieving expectations.
I stayed away from the Beatles is just like in real music, I find that they have nobody that compares to them. The fact that they started off one way and just turned into something totally different, which I guess maybe
He was like a game manager at first.
He's like in his India portion right now, and who knows what will happen.
He's like in the portion where Bob Dylan got him hooked on drugs, and now he's expanded his whole game.
By the way, we'd love to play some music.
Yes.
But I have been talked to multiple times by shadowy league figures about this rights issue. So let's play some music. Here is some Rolling Stones. Well, kind of like the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah.
Rock and roll.
Same thing.
Now, this is not the Rolling Stones. Let me make that clear. But
it could be.
See, a little horns.
Are you sure it's not?
Stones had that R&B vibe to them.
This is like the Tony Romo version of the Stones.
Okay, you wanted to hear, you like Chance the Rapper?
Yes, obviously.
But you obviously can't, we can't play it on the show because SLF issues. Well, here's what Chance the Rapper kind of sounds like. This is from our music library. It's cleared. This is kind of what rap sounds like.
Did I hear Lauryn Hill in there?
Yeah, I thought I did too. But I feel like there's a lot of... Yeah, this is...
Anyone else?
Question.
You want to hear the greatest... The Beatles, the best band ever.
All right.
This is what...
What is happening?
Now imagine, you know, Come Together or something off Revolver. Or even one of their early songs, I Want to Hold Your Hand. But this is, you know, or Hey Jude, maybe. This is kind of what the Beatles sound like, if you don't know. It's kind of what the Beatles are. It's just if you don't know.
Sounds like a bad 80s pop song.
If you've never experienced the Beatles, you don't need to do any more research than this.
George Harrison.
Listen to Harrison noodling.
Pick up some sitar.
It's like with the Beatles, like, move to like the 80s.
Sounds like
and soundtrack Miami Vice.
Sounds more like Pantera.
All right. Enough of that.
You want to know who's Air Supply?
Who?
Alex Smith.
I like that one.
Your mom's soft rock, but every once in a while you can catch yourself singing along to it. You can convince yourself that he's not that bad, and then you're like, oh, he's so limited. It's like listening to mom's soft rock in your minivan.
Relatedly, Andy Dalton is Coldplay.
Yes.
I like him, but I get it if you don't. I get it. I get why you don't like them.
Jay Cutler's Nickelback.
Oh. I found a group, a Scottish funk and R&B band from the 70s and early 80s that represent Brian Hoyer, their title Average White Band.
Oh, they have Pick Up the Pieces, Cut the Cake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said Jay Cutler. I had Counting Crows. Mm. Only the biggest of the diehards are hanging around at this point.
Yeah.
Greg?
His body is a subject of... conversation.
Just like Jay conversation Cutler. Piece.
Not quite for the same reasons, but.
I had Mike Lennon as Train.
That works.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't even have an explanation.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You need to.
I don't like that. Much higher upside than Train.
Roger Staubach is Talking Heads.
Why is that?
One of the great bands of all time, but never recognized as one of the great bands of all time.
Fair enough.
I will give you
anybody
a,
else.
I have a prediction. It's not where this. It's what this person's going to turn into.
Who?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes.
It's right now, he's this British group called Wham, and he's his own guy, obviously. It doesn't really work on the Tom Brady side, but he's going to become George Michael and have an incredible solo career once he breaks free from
the current
thing he's in.
All right.
Let's hear what a band that might sound like Wham a little bit. Let it rip.
Oh, this is Wham. 100%. Just making our point.
Can you turn this up a little bit, Seth? This is playing on the jukebox and the Max on loop. All
right. We're allowed to play this for as long as we want, right?
Keep it underneath the show the whole time. I remember back in my youth listening to Scotty Farrell, who was syndicated on WFAN, and he would just have rock music going underneath his voice the whole time. Like, this keeps the show moving, baby.
That guy drove me nuts.
Not one of my.
I'm on his show like a few times a year. I like him. He's one of the best hosts to talk to.
Hey,
but
he's
that
been around
period
a long time.
Where it was constant rock music, like I'd
he
play at the end in the middle of the night. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, he dropped that. Before anybody else have another one before we move on. All right.
Johnny Unitas is CCR. You can listen to CCR all day. You can just watch Johnny Unitas play all day. Nothing but hits.
It's been maybe too esoteric, but Phil Rivers is Lucinda Williams. A lot of heartbreak. There's going to be some good seasons. There's going to be some good albums. There's going to maybe be some down seasons, some down albums. But each one's going to have a lot of emotion, a lot that's bringing you back.
A lot of people with bolo ties are listening to it.
Right. Yeah. They kind of sound the same when they're talking. I love Lucinda.
Kirk Cousins is the Black Keys. Nobody's sure whether he's good or kind of shitty.
As Sydney writes down a note to make an edit to the show.
Oh, we're on, by the way, we're on NFL Network's Up to the Minute.
Yeah, we got
to
go.
On Tuesday as well. It'll be too late. We're also on Monday, and it'll be too late for those listening to this podcast. But we are on Tuesday around 5:45 Eastern time if you want to check that out.
They're putting us on fairly regularly right now, which is good.
Four times last week.
Yeah,
so
we'll see.
That's 5 to 6 every day.
We've got time for a couple iTunes, don't we?
We have time for a couple iTunes reviews, yeah. Let me bring it up. By the way, I want to give a pop to the subreddit. We want to get that up to 5,000 people.
As Mark buttons his teeth.
Oh, Mark.
I'm just coming off a segment where we played piped in crap music to save our asses. I ain't going to go on network with my top button buttoned. Looking like some hooligan.
I like how you connected that. I mean, that's
pretty good.
That's interesting.
I think you put me in my place.
I thought you were going to be maybe starting a whole new trend in the game with a top button. I thought I was starting to get used to it is what I'm saying. I like this. This is classy look as well, but I missed
it. It's just like just typical white guy wearing a shirt.
Couple of iTunes. Oh, yeah. So check out the subreddit around the NFL. What is it? Is it around the NFL on Reddit?
Yes.
Okay. Check that out and you know, subscribe to it, and let's try to get that to 5,000. Let's check out some iTunes reviews. Again, leave reviews and 5 stars or 0 stars if you don't like the show, whatever you want. But that helps with iTunes and how they calibrate their rankings. So let's just read a few. The most recent one comes from a man – Michael with 11 L's. They don't stay on subject. 1 star. I hate when podcasts don't stay on subject. The first 10 minutes of this podcast was these dudes messing around. No football stories at all.
Surprised he chose that one.
Hey, listen, that was the first one that popped up. I will add that as the host, I know for a fact that very rarely goes beyond 5 minutes not talking nonsense. 10 minutes? You're a liar.
Can't please everyone, nor do we try to.
Next one from New England Pack fan 33. Wait a second. Can't be a Patriots and a Packers fan. But I'll let you off the hook because you put 5 stars with the headline, make this 2 hours long. Greg's nightmare. Love listening to everyone at work. I wish this podcast was 2 hours long. The atmosphere is fantastic.
That reminded me of on Saturday, John Gonzalez, Gonzo, yep. Colleen Wolf's
Who's that?
Husband.
Oh, thank you, Greg.
Who's this Gonzo you speak?
He says sometimes he's woken up by our voices because Colleen will be like getting ready for the day and listening to our podcast, which sounds like a dystopian nightmare.
Very uncomfortable.
That's funny.
This one, Dan, 5 stars by Longhorn 9955. I mean, come back to us. No, really, come back to us this way. I need an Uber. Well done. Well done.
What?
Remember the Uber joke?
Oh, yeah.
I got it.
You guys forgot already.
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Did you ever listen to that pod, Mark?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, let's move. Hey, listen. Let's keep moving. This one, garbage, 1 star. Screw that guy.
Garbage.
5 stars. Daniel Jeremiah is a tool. Great podcast, though.
Wow. Is that written by Dan Hansis?
It was written by AJS, but I understand the sentiment. Another 5 stars. So much better than Move the Sticks. DJ just ruins that show. Daniel, come back to us.
Wow, DJ ruins the show where he's the host.
Awful 1 star, Cleo Lemon. I don't know how people listen to this. Do yourself a favor and download Move the Sticks instead.
Oh.
What's happening?
Oh, it's sort of a turf war breaking out
here. Yeah, this is annoying.
By the way, you know, Cleo Lemon, loved that guy back in the day on that Dolphins team.
Shocking that you
memorable moment. Saved them from going 0-16. Way to go,
Cleo. We get it,
Greg.
You wrote that review. We get it.
Too beautiful for this world. 5 stars by the SoCal Bears guy. 5 stars aren't good enough for ATN. The heroes are the 4-in-1 single-faced Mount Rushmore podcasts. No other house in the neighborhood. Hands of stealing the headlines. Sessler's not so subtle critique of the world. Wessling's manufactured Southern charm. add a splash.
What?
Add a splash of Sid.
I don't think he means that negatively.
Add a splash of Sid. And Greg, with words or something, flawless imperfection. What does that mean?
Flawless imperfection.
Manufactured.
Do you guys want to hear the review worse than nails on a chalkboard? One star?
Yes.
Gary Bruin, these pundits sound like they have clothespins clamped on their nostrils during the podcast, and that's the most best aspect. The most best aspect, huh, Gary Bruin? You're an idiot. I wish I could get back those 30 minutes of my life I wanted listening to their platitudes. It's funny, he's including words like platitudes, but then has no basic command of the English language. Nails on the chalkboard is easier on the ears.
All right. Well,
that might explain a few things.
There's an extended Gilligan's Island analogy with 5 stars. A little too long to read.
Yeah,
here,
that's who's Ginger?
More outdated than our music references.
Best football podcast. Sandy Moore is all right. These guys are great, super insightful, and ridiculously silly. Love the return of You're the GM. Hope I see Greg someday so I could turn to my friends and loudly proclaim, oh, my God, that's NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal. Good, but not great. 3 stars.
All right. All right. I like that. We've never
now we're
had
getting there. Somebody's zeroing in on the actual truth here. Farn 13, this podcast walks the line between obnoxious morning radio show that relies on drops and informative football commentary. When the podcast stays on the topic of football and refrains from singing, I feel like this is pointed at someone on the show. The show can be great. I enjoy the ultra serious goons who have any issues with me being on the show. You are a person I would never be friends with, and you'll never be in the trust tree. And just consider this podcast enemy territory for you. If you're an overly serious person,
if you want,
stick it in your ear.
If you want dry football talk, you can find it on lots of podcasts all over the internet.
Yeah.
And you'll fall asleep listening to it.
We'll fall asleep providing it if we go that direction.
Anyway, a lot of reviews, a lot of fun. Mostly 5-star reviews, some bad ones, but the people that leave the bad reviews, I find them to be the flawed people, and the ones that leave the good reviews to be good people. That's how I look at it.
I think also we get Sydney onto that site and have her scrub anything that even reeks of a negative review.
Let's get on that. Let's get on that, Sid. Thank you very much. All right, we got to go. We got to do our NFL Network hit live in a few minutes, so that's it. We'll be back on Wednesday with yet another episode. And then again, a reminder, Thursday we will have a show. And then also 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, we will video stream that entire show. Fun times. So if you like the video show, if you want it back during the regular season, make sure you check that out. And I think it would be good for everyone involved. So, and we promise not to make it one of those video podcasts where it ruins the audio show. That's our promise to you. Let's go. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and new money behind the glass. Till Wednesday.
Calliope, one of the great words in the English language.
Solid, solid word.
Also used by Bruce Springsteen in a song.
It's the calliope that we all travel along sometimes. I don't know what a calliope is. Is that a game?
It's like a music device on a steamboat ship.
Oh, okay.
I believe. Is that right, Mark?
Don't look at me.
Did we start the podcast
I've
over
never
to
been
talk about this?
I've never been on a steamship. I've never been on a ship that you named right there. Forget about it. What is happening?
Let's do this one more time.
Hold on. This is
what's up with that?
All right.
Leave the calliope in. It hasn't had a day in the sun for 130 years.